Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We unfortunately are having a bit of an internet issue with Ronnie Talbot tonight, which was supposed to be our guest. Hopefully he'll be able to pop on here in a little while. Until then, I'm just going to kind of jump straight in, and we'll talk about some of the recaps on things that we ran into here this week on Paranormal Truth and Reality, as well as RTP, and we'll get into some stories of a few things that people have shared with me here in the past 3 or 4 weeks since we haven't done that in a little while. I've got a couple of great things that we can read for you, and hopefully Ronnie will get the internet issue solved, and if not, we can always reschedule him. So let's just jump into a couple of things here. Excuse me if I cough on you a little bit, but the weather's changed here in Ohio, so I have a little bit of a cold. Recently here on RTP, we've done a few unusual changes to work with Paranormal Truth and Reality. One of the things that I started to discuss this week, actually, are a few terminologies that are pretty common throughout the internet. One of them is the word attraction. A lot of things that you hear over the internet and you see on television are about ghosts being attracted, or spirits, or even evil presences being attracted to particular people, particular things, and so forth. So let's take a few steps back and we'll start talking about this term attraction. Attraction has several different meanings throughout the situations in life. Let's talk about one of those as I pull it up here, and we'll give you kind of a definition. But basically what you're discussing here with attraction is the fact that things can be drawn in situations directly to individuals, particular places, situations, and so forth. To get into a little bit more detail when we start looking at the definition of attraction, as I pull it up here, let's just kind of discuss this in a little bit more detail. So what exactly does attraction mean? Well, if I can get my internet to work, we'll kind of discuss that a little bit here. Attraction, simply put in a definition, let's see here, we're going to pull it up here, to pull, to drag, and or to attract to particular areas, or in layman's terms, let's kind of break it down in a little bit, the action of power to invoke interest, pleasure, or liking for something or someone or one particular item, a quality or feature of someone, something of interest, a liking or desire of a particular thing. If you break it down a little bit, to draw or move towards. So can a ghost actually be attracted to something? Well, we've defined this definition directly from human interest to kind of explain how we like things, how we get interested in things, and so forth. So we draw a lot of the aspects off of human reality when we start talking about ghosts, entities, and the unseen. That brings a very interesting question up that everybody's welcome to call in on, but does that mean that what we're doing is physically seeing something that's attracted to a particular person, item, thing, situation, home? Or does it mean that we're relating this because we assume that what we do in life follows after death? Now, this is a very interesting question that I'm going to pose throughout the next 2 or 3 weeks, because if you actually take the time to talk to sociologists and several people that study the human behaviors, a lot of things that we relate to are what we learn throughout life. So is it possible that what we're doing is we're not quite determining aspects of the paranormal the way they should, because we're using the reality of how we experience things in life and assuming that it goes to the after death? In my personal opinion, I think it's a little bit of both. When we start talking about attraction, what you're actually looking at physically is you want to explain things that are unseen or unexplained. Of course, that's what the paranormal is all about. So reality speaking, you're going to try to look at that from your eyes and your standpoint. Now, this is a very interesting thing to talk about, by the way, because the paranormal, as we all know, does not have a rule book. It is not black and white. It's not, hey, you go to a job every day, you went to a university, you're trained in that job, you walk through that job, and so forth. Now, though the paranormal touches with a lot of different educations, a lot of different people that went to universities, and a lot of people that are fairly experienced in that. The paranormal itself is not a step-by-step process. It's a kind of guess-as-you-go thing, kind of like science in the beginning, to be frankly honest with you. You didn't learn how to split an atom just by going, oh, gee, well, I'm reading some books here. We can split an atom. Once upon a time, we split an atom by trial and error, guessing and thinking we could do it. You built an airplane the same way. We traveled to space the same way. Hey, I think we can do this. We're just going to keep experimenting until it happens. So when you're dealing with the paranormal and you're using human instinct, which is what most of us do, it begs the question of asking, with so many different people, so many different theories, and so many different speculations, is any one person wrong? Now, I'll answer that relatively easily for you. The answer is, when you're building a theory or a speculation, no, a speculation is not wrong. Now, you do have to look at the reality of some of the facts, though, when you're doing a speculation. Even though we build all of this off of our own human interest, our own human definitions, and so forth, some of these things have been proven by scientific fields that have made the time to do all the speculations, do the testing, and bam, there you go. All the way down to the inventors himself that created particular individual things that work particular individual ways, and they don't work other ways, and that has been proven a fact. Let's use images as an example. Now, on RTP and several other groups, as well as a session I was training here earlier, teaching earlier this week, when we look at photography, we can all look at it relatively different. When you start adding pixelation to videos and photography, does that mean that you're actually seeing a ghost? 99.9% of the time, no, it does not. A lot of times we use our human interest and our want, and we physically start seeing things. Now, when you add that to the paranormal community, you circle something, or you explain, hey, look at the female or the baby or the hand, pareidolia sets in, resulting in more people looking at it, especially over social media, and bam, there you go. You've got a ghost, you've got a hand, you've got a female, you've got so forth. So in actual reality, guys, when you're looking at photographs, photographs are not 100% proof that a ghost is there. Now, I know when I say this, I'm going to have several people throughout this get slightly angered about it, but here's the reality of things. Just like in a scientific field and just like in other fields, when you're building an evidential pool, and let's take a few steps back when we're talking about evidence. What is evidence? Evidence is a series of things put together that can prove 100% that something is, in fact, related together. Now, in the court systems, you have to have pretty clarifying 100% evidence in order to convict somebody. In most cases, we do know that sometimes that evidence can also be wrong, and we'll be glad to talk about that a little later, and people can always talk to me about their opinions on it on RTP, Paranormal Truth and Reality. You can email me and so forth. But the reality is, when you go into a court case, when you're investigating a crime scene, when you're a private investigator, you have to build a bunch of individual pieces all around you. Now, photographs are only a portion of that. Why? I can take a photograph of an individual standing in front of a building, but does that mean the individual broke the window and stole the stuff? The answer is no. It does not. It's just a man standing in front of a building, which makes it circumstantial. Circumstantial evidence are pieces of evidence that you can still question, that you can still look at, and say, well, sure, you might have something that looks cool, but. Now, in the reality of most photographs and ghost images that are out there, that's what you're going to run into. So how do we work around this? Well, in the paranormal community, there are several ways that you can do it. But let's look at the scientific end of the paranormal. How does a geologist work around a theory? How does an astrophysicist work around a theory? How do these other things work around theories themselves? It's a very good question. The first thing you do is you build a hypothesis based off of what you think is going to work. Then you test the math and you look at the research to find out that logically that's the case. Then you experiment with that particular situation. So how do we experiment in the paranormal? Well, firstly, you don't just stick with one piece of equipment. Secondly, you try to get a little bit more in depth with your individual theories and experiments themselves. And thirdly, you write it all down, you keep track of the data, you match the data with other individual situations, and you continue to build the case in one particular location and multiple particular locations. So what does this mean? Let's layman's terms this a little bit. Firstly, you need more than just a cell phone, more than just a camera, and more than just a digital recorder. You're going to need to get yourself some real equipment. Doesn't hurt to have the fun gadgets. You can do this pretty basically too, just so that you guys know. But let's just start with simple things that the average investigator can start with. Reality is you're going to need at least a video camera. B, two individual regular cameras or more that you can set up and take pictures. Three, I recommend you get another video camera that you can keep on continuous record, either while you're in the room with it or when it's in a sectioned room that you can leave, so that way there's continuous video there. You're also going to need not one, not two, not three, but I would recommend at least four digital recorders. Now, there's a reason for this. As one of the paranormal investigators we interviewed last week, Joe Thompson, mentioned, and several other paranormal investigators have mentioned and discussed with me multiple times, one digital recorder may pick up something where another one does not. So if you have all of these things working together, then you can pull the evidence and see what you've got. You can go into a little bit more extremes if you want to, bring in an EMF detector. Now I'm going to tell you with EMF, here's the situation. We did a test at the Marengo Schoolhouse with EMF detectors. We did see some very unique things. In fact, one I would like to reproduce. We also found out a few other things. EMF can be picked up virtually anywhere. The moment you get more electronic or magnetic fields in the area, the more realistically it's going to affect all of your devices. Now, why do I mean by this? We went into a slight power area that still had open wires or open boxes. You could go under that open box to the other side, and you'd be picking up high EMF signals. Now, as I took several cell phones and went back and forth, guess what happened? Well, the EMF signal interfered with the cell phone. The cell phone caused itself to work at a higher rate. Bam, battery drain. Now, you'll still run into this with video cameras, just so you guys know as well. So when you're in a location, you have to consistently ask the question, is something draining my batteries, or do I have other external conditions going on? Now, I'm going to tell you from experience in electronics that roughly about 60 to 70% of the time, it's going to be a realistic approach. You're going to run into an EMF disturbance, you're going to run into a high power outage, you're going to run into weather disturbances that affect the batteries, and bam, you're going to have a drainage. However, you could also have a ghost doing this. This is why you go back every time and test it. The next point of this is, now that you have all the equipment running, you went in, you've done all this other stuff, how does that react the day of the investigation? Now, Paranormal Truth and Reality, so that you know, when we put together our new television series, or actually it's going to be Streamlined series first, but hopefully we're going to get it on the television after we get the first five episodes out, is going to explore this amongst other things in a logical approach. One of the things that you're going to see, and I will discuss a little bit now, is the reality of human nature kicking in. When you're on an investigation or when you're on a tour, you're consistently there expecting one thing. I'm going to see a ghost. When you do that, you have a heightened experience. If you add more than one person together, the experience becomes more heightened. And a good percentage of the time, you're going to think you saw, heard, or caught something that you may not have. Now, this is why investigators come back. You do a walkthrough at the beginning so that you can see things. You come up with a couple ideas on how you're going to do some tests. Most of the time, those tests don't work. Sometimes they do. And we're going to get into that here in a little while, too, with trigger effects. But after the investigation is done, you might have had a fun time. You have heightened emotions. You have several other people on your team or on your group that have had heightened emotions. Investigators come back the next day or the following day to go through this again. The reason being, this way you can properly determine what spikes you're going to have what disturbances you're going to have, why things could have happened. And in reality is you're going to find a few things. Now, let me use an example. During a heightened situation at my last investigation, I did an experiment. The experiment was confronting what was there. Now, I know what most investigators are going to say. You're not supposed to confront things because it's going to cause negative situations. Well, you're right. There was a negative situation there. We had an echo throughout the building. Sounded just like a growl. Scared virtually everybody. Now, going back through the building, here's the reality of the situation. This is a very old building with incredibly large air shafts that did a circular heating system at one point with boiler furnaces. Now, what did we determine less than 4 days after the investigation from going through? Well, there were open areas, and guess where the growl came from? There were animals in the ventilation system. Due to the heightened emotion and the timing, hearing the echo in the ventilation system caused what would seem as a growl, because that system is relatively close to where I was standing, and there's an animal that had a nest there. Bingo. There's your solution. Now, when I'm telling you this, I'm not telling you this because I don't believe in ghosts. I'm not telling you this because you shouldn't believe in ghosts yourself. You shouldn't believe in the other side. Everybody's going to have an individual opinion, and that's the beauty of the paranormal. I'm telling you this because in the reality of investigations, you need to take 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 looks. And if you run into something that's not explainable, and I also did on that investigation, I discussed that with you a little bit last week, try to reproduce that. Try to see if it happens again. If the anomaly remains an anomaly, you have something. Let's go into deeper tests. Let's get a few other people in there. Let's start talking to educated people in other fields. Let's try to find out what these determinations are. Now, you'll see this a lot outside of ghost hunting. When you start getting into zoology and cryptozoology, ancient beliefs, ancient writings, and some of the early theology when you're talking about mythology and so forth that is still overseas. A lot of times when you start going out onto hunts, let's use Bigfoot as an example. I got a couple of great investigators that are going to be coming on with Bigfoot. They'll tell you this the same way. Or let's talk about some of the other unusual zoology situations, which we're going to be talking about in 2018, and I've got some wonderful guests that are going to come into there. When you start seeing things, what's the first thing you see on Bigfoot? Well, you take cast of a print, you get some droppings, you get some fur and so forth. Are you able to logically determine that because you found a cloth of fur or a dropping that that came from Bigfoot? The answer is odds are you're not. You don't deal in that particular field, so what you're going to do is you're going to go to a zoologist, you're going to go to a DNA testing field, they're going to test it, they're going to match it with other animal DNA, they're going to see if they can find a logical situation. Now, I know what people are thinking. Well, I can't do that. I'm on a budget. You'd be surprised how often, and this is how I started so everybody knows, you'd be surprised how often you can talk to a university professor and say, hey, look, I'm doing something a little fun and interesting here so that I can create a theory and I'd like your help. When you start talking about the paranormal, you're going to get one of two things. They're going to laugh a little bit and say, sure, why not? Because it's a joke. Or they're going to want to disprove it, so they're going to say, sure, why not? There are testing facilities, just so everybody knows, that you can actually spend the time with if you have a little bit of extra cash from time to time, from $75 all the way up to $300 to $3,000, depending on what you're testing, that will work with you as well. So there are ways to do that. You just simply have to educate yourself long enough in order to do that. Let's get back to the original term on attraction and why it's so unique and why there are so many opinions out there. The wonderful thing about the paranormal is, since it is mostly speculation, you can do a lot of guessing, and you can create your own theories. Each individual person has a theory. Each theory, as long as it works with the reality of the study, the things that we can find factual, is very interesting. Human nature kicks in a lot of times on this. You run into that a lot when you're talking about the metaphysical and so forth, which brings me into one of my other terms. I apologize. We've got a question here from my messenger, which is being tested this week. He says, but the reality is, if I'm a paranormal investigator and I'm a limited budget, even if I've been doing this for 20 years and believe in ghosts, can't I state what I believe based off of my situation? The answer is yes. You also have to understand, though, when we're talking about this, Bill, that heightened emotion in human nature often creates belief. You and I have a different belief system. Another person will have a different belief system. Those belief systems grow. Don't let that interfere with the logistics of your search. When you're in study, sometimes you have to kind of put aside a lot of different things. Paranormal study, as an example, in universities, they put aside a lot of the belief in ghosts for a reason. It's not because they don't believe in ghosts. Most of the people go in when they're looking at ghosts, when they're looking at crop circles, when they're looking at unidentified animals that are cryptids, when they're looking at all this, they want to believe it. They want the proof. It fascinates them. That's why they're there. The average scientist won't do that. They'll just continue on their numbers. These particular individuals in universities, college professors, and so forth, go and look at all this stuff because it fascinates them. They want to believe that it's there. But you have to put aside any belief that it's real in order to look at the data. Once you come up with a situation that goes, oh my God, I can't explain this. I've done everything I can. I've handed it off to other people. They can't explain it. There's something here. Bam, you've got it in concrete. You can't really say it's a ghost. You can't really say it's a monster. But you can say, oh my God, I've got something. And that's the key you should look at. Oh my God, I've got something. Now that brought me into another thing that I, excuse me, I apologize, I'm coughing a little bit, that I spoke about a little bit on RTP earlier. Real-time paranormal, by the way. It's a Facebook group, very educational. Make sure that you take a look at it. Physical and non-physical. With physical and non-physical, what you're looking at is very unusual. Now, you'll see non-physical in the paranormal all the time. People will talk about non-physical forms, non-physical situations, and so forth. So let's do the definition on non-physical. Non-physical is not related or concerning a solid body, object, or solution, non-tangible or non-concrete, the opposite of physical. Non-physical is a way for us to explain those things we can't explain, the unseen. So when we're looking at the unseen, human nature kicks in once again, hence the term non-physical. So are we truly experiencing the non-physical? Are we experiencing the physical reacting to our individual mind and how it perceives the situation at the time? Well, these are things, again, that we're going to look into very in-depthly when we get our first five shows together. We're hopefully going to do 10 or 12 shows that covers all of these situations. We're going to answer these questions in a little bit of detail. We're going to look at them. We're going to take some rookie teams or some new teams. We're going to put them out there. Then we're going to take some experienced teams, experienced scientists, and so forth, and bring them back into the situations. And we're going to decipher these things to kind of get an idea of what is what. See what you can find. Now, my explanation in the non-physical. There are things we can't explain. There are things I can't explain. I've had an incredible amount of situations, to be frankly honest with you. It just boggles the mind. I can't explain them. Those are all non-physical. They make great stories, but in reality, when you're starting to build a study, we need more than that. If you have something physically in front of you, if I look and say, Bob, I need you to show up, and Bob shows up, bam, I've got something. If I say, Bob, I need you to move that cup in front of me, and Bob moves that cup, bam, you've got something. Now, how do we do this in ghost hunting? Well, we use objects. The most common object that you see on television is a ball, because children play with a ball. You can move a ball and so forth. Here's the thing with balls. If you stick that, for instance, Waverly Mansion, stick a ball in Waverly Mansion, and the ball will move in a particular area. Now, what I found out, not to say anything bad about Waverly, because, guys, it does have some questionable activity there. But what I found out with the particular ball is the child really moving the ball, or is the ball moving because of other situations? Well, here's the situation. In the particular room it moves the most, the floor is non-leveled, so you have to watch what you're doing. There is also a draft that comes in because there are several broken windows, and it's very windy on that area. It'll cause the ball to move. The floor actually reacts to movement outside of the room. So if you go outside of the room and you jump up and down on the floor, the inside floor will shake. Now, if you take a light ball that has air in it and you jump outside, that ball's going to move. So moving slightly back and forth is not really what you want to look at. Now, if it comes straight out, moves to the left, moves to the right, moves to the left, moves to the right, jumps up and down, by golly, you got something. But there are other objects that you can use. Tyler from Paranormal Tyler, great man, we had him a couple of weeks ago, was talking about a spinner that they use. That's actually kind of unique. If you could take a spinner and put it down and it spins on its own, since it's weighted and slightly heavy, that's a good example. Other people have actually used simple jacks, put them on a table, see what happens. Rob Price, a very unique individual of mine, had a trigger object in a little doll. He's got some very unique footage we're going to get him on and talk about eventually of that doll actually physically reacting. It did move several times. They had it in a secure area. It did actually turn its head at one point, which is unique. They've got some video they're going to show eventually when they get it put together. You're going to love it. But those are the little things that you want to look at, trigger objects. Point of the matter before we get into advertising is don't just stop at, hey, I've got an image. Oh, gee, look at me. Now, there are many paranormal investigators out there that just use cell phones. Don't do that. Don't just stop at that. The reality is if you want to do a real investigation, guys, you're going to need real cameras. It's great to have a cell phone for Facebook Live. It's great to have cell phones for other things, but you have to concentrate on the fact that you need to go more in depth than that. You're going to need stationary cameras. You're going to need to spend multiple times in the event. You can't figure out things in 4 hours of being there. These are all things that you need to do. Advertisements. If you guys have a chance, I want you to pay attention to SERT. Jeffrey Hale's team is actually trying to save a building around the New Orleans area. He's very, very avident on trying to save a lot of old cultural buildings, schools, restaurants, and so forth. This particular building is about to go abandoned and get torn down. They're trying to get the money to reestablish this and refurbish this building. So visit CERT Investigations on Facebook. Look them up. Try to support them as much as possible. He's a wonderful individual, and they have a great team there in Louisiana and New Orleans area. It's a beautiful place. If you ever have a chance to see them, by all means, jump in there. We had a wonderful turnout at the Haunted Hurrah, from what I hear. They made quite a lot of money, and they had a lot of fun. So I wanted to congratulate everybody there. The Marengo Flea Market is actually going to be running over the winter in Marengo, Ohio. So make sure you visit them. Outstanding bunch of people, great arts, great crafts. You know, some wonderful things going on there. So make sure you take an in-depth look at that. In other news, Paranormal Journey into the Unknown. Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell actually got their first episodes out this week on Amazon. I encourage everybody to take a look at it. They're wonderful people. They're excellent up-and-comers. They've got a lot of projects. It looks like they may be going into 5 or 6 years. They're going to be on Amazon. They're going to be on Netflix. And you might even see them on television before it's over with, because they are very talented individuals. So make sure you take a good look at that. Going back into it, and it looks like Ronnie's had a lot of technical difficulties, so unfortunately he won't be visiting us tonight. We will reschedule that, but going back into the paranormal, a few other things that I'd like to just kind of talk about, and I have a story I'm going to share with you here in a little while. This one came from a little older lady that was overseas that wanted to share a story for me, so you're going to absolutely love it, is the paranormal community. The paranormal community is very unique when you're dealing with Facebook. Now, it was unique way before that. Just so that you guys know, when I came in about 21 years ago, you still had the charlatans. You still had the people claiming that they were exorcists. You still had all kinds of other things. Not that exorcists are bad. There are some real exorcists out there. But you and I also know that there are a lot of shamsters and shysters, just like there are in every field, that claim to do things. When we got to Facebook, it seemed like it got a lot worse when you got into social media. The drama is absolutely absurd under the term and the word expert. So I want to break that down a little bit. We all know what an expert is, so I'm not going to define expert. But as you noticed from me talking earlier, and I apologize if some of my regular viewers get a little annoyed by this if you're paranormal investigators, but we all know here's the reality of things. Number one, in the paranormal, nobody is an expert at the paranormal. Now here's why. There are literally, and I counted them over the week, about 129 different fields that go into the term paranormal. Paranormal means yet to be scientifically explained or all things unknown. So if you can't explain it right now and you can't find the logics to it, guess what? It's paranormal. That covers virtually every scientific field, virtually every medical field, and virtually every realistic field. So, what does this mean? Now, there's been a lot of interesting conversations going back and forth through literally hundreds of individual people, and since I have a moment to talk about it, I'm going to discuss the reality that the other thing is when you start talking about professionalism and professionals in a field, a lot of people say, well, you can't really have a professional in the paranormal. That's a lie. You can. You can, and there are professionals in the paranormal. If somebody takes a degree in zoology for 9 years and they're in a university, 10 years actually, let's say they take the degree in zoology, they become a professor, they're working in a university, that is a professional. He spent his whole life educated in that. If somebody is or has been doing photography, has a successful business, teaches in photography, and understands photography, that's a professional. If somebody's been in the audio field and tears down audio and puts it back together, learns audio signals, actually teaches in audio and so forth, and he's been doing this throughout his education, spent his 8 years in college, decided to continue on this, has a good reputation, that's a professional. There can be professionals in the paranormal. Now, does that mean that that individual professional knows everything about the paranormal? The answer is no. Let's use me as an example. I have an audio engineering degree and 2 marketing degrees. Now, I know audio fairly well. I actually taught in it for about 2.5 years. Teaching's not my thing. I still enjoy talking in conferences and universities, but teaching's not my thing. I'm very well educated in the audio field. So am I a professional in the audio field? The answer is yes, I am. I'm not a professional in the video field. I only know audio. I've worked in marketing and business for a number of years. Am I a professional that people take my words on, and I have a lot of clients and I consult with them and I've helped them make millions of dollars? The answer is yes, I am. Now, I don't make millions of dollars myself, so don't get that wrong. I've helped them make millions of dollars in consulting, and I make a good living at it. But the point being is, so I know audio and I know marketing. I don't know video. I don't know zoology. I don't know quantum physics. I know about quantum physics because I've talked to a lot of quantum physics professors and physics professors, so I get it more than the average person, but the point being here, we're not going to know everything when you're out there in the field. Now, I don't claim to be an investigator because I tag along with investigators. I'm an observer. I'm a host. This is what I do. However, paranormal investigators are professionals if they do their job right. If you work with 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 people, whatever it is, whatever your numbers are, and each person is a professional in one field and you're working together, then that makes you a team. It's a team effort. This is why you hand things off. Just like in a criminal investigation, if we go back to it. Does the detective do everything? The answer is no. Does the criminologist do everything? The answer is no. These are broken down for a reason. Collect the evidence, hand it off, test the evidence, The labs find out the tests. They hand it off to somebody else. The detective interviews people. The interviews go over to somebody else. And then the whole team works together to make a collective pool of evidence that can be proof or non-proof something happened in a crime. The same thing applies to paranormal investigation. Whatever you're doing, the same thing applies to paranormal investigation. I had an outstanding privilege earlier today to talk to a gentleman that works with MUFON, and he's written actually several books. He worked with the United States government for a little while. Of course, I talked to several people. I know a couple of people that are paying attention to my Facebook page might think that it's the gentleman on the Facebook page. It is not. However, he has shown up on the History Channel and several others. He's a very well-known individual, and he took the time to spend about 2.5 hours with me today. And one of the things he said is, even when I'm writing and doing my books and looking in, from day one when I worked with MUFON and when I'd done UFO investigations, if it weren't for the tests and the other people and the labs and all of the individual hands that worked together as professionals in the different areas and fields they were in, I would have never been able to spend such a successful and enlightening career looking into something that's my passion. I want everybody to think about that a little bit tonight. We spend a lot of time on social media arguing back and forth. Somebody presents something and all of a sudden the term or the argument expert comes up. And I'm going back to that several times because the reality is, guys, when you're on social media, if you ever hear somebody go, well, nobody's an expert, they want to cause trouble. Because in the real paranormal community, we don't use that word. We don't care. It's obsolete. It's irrelevant. You know more in one field than I do. That's why I'm here. You tell me your opinion. We'll see if it matches with what I've got over here. And we'll put something logically together to support the data involved. And it's all about the data. This is all a speculation and guessing game. It's all about the data. It's what you collect. So when you're thinking about this logically, that is the way it should be treated. Now, I know television and media is a little bit different. And, of course, yes, you have to consider that. There are a lot of people I respect incredibly. They have upcoming careers that are coming up with their video and their videos and their investigations. Some of them already have careers that are moving up very, very fastly. Some of them have had careers for a while. And I respect each and every one of you that have taken the time to talk to me. And those of you that are going to take the time to talk to me here throughout 2018, because it's going to be a wonderful time. I know you work very, very hard at it. I know some of you are very, very educated as well. You shared that with me. But all of you agree to the same thing in one point or another. When you get to the point to where you understand how university studies work, how real paranormal study works, how real paranormal investigation should work, you understand that you're not going to have all those answers and that you're going to have to go to the next person. You're going to have to go to the next person. You're going to have to go to the next person. You're going to have to go to the next person. And you're going to have to put that together and collect what is called data. Data is the information to support the possibility. I spent about 20 minutes with a semi-famous individual, again, this week because I'm building up the interview status. Some of these guys will be on in 2018 so that everybody's aware. I've got an incredible lineup. I've had a wonderful chance within the past 2 to 3 weeks to speak to some very well-known faces for brief periods in time. But this gentleman works particularly in aliens. He has been seen on television several individual times. And one of the things that he shared with me is because of his PhD, he's had a wonderful experience of spending more time in glyphs and history, for instance, the Egyptian tombs, and a lot of ancient writings and a lot of things to discuss with other people and other peers in the field. What that's allowed him to do when he's dealing with archaeology is, though his career is not fully in archaeology itself, share with other individuals that specifically specialize in those particular areas like ancient Egypt, Celtic studies, and so forth, and be able to put together hypotheses and theories that make very fascinating TV, that could logically be thought about. And reality is he does. That's one of the things that he brings to the table, which is why we see him on television. The whole point of the conversation tonight, I think everybody's getting the hang of, since unfortunately Ronnie wasn't there, one of the things that we have to do is understand that when you're dealing with paranormal investigation, it is a team effort. There is absolutely no reason to argue or get frustrated or get angry because one person is giving you an opinion that you don't like. Let them give the opinion. You know, if they hang themselves, they'll hang themselves. If they want to cause trouble, especially over social media, they'll hang themselves. Don't let it bother you at all. Just move on to the next situation. If they're trying to help, that's great. Even if it doesn't fit in with your theory, your data, or your information, hey, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just a couple of words. This is why a lot of time everybody that knows me on social media knows that I've kind of moved past the irritations. A gentleman that was with us briefly with his psychic medium actually taught me a few things when I read his book about social media. And one of the things is we tend to react very, very quickly. We look at words and read them as emotions, and we take them very personally. So we often react out of human instinct, just like attraction earlier. When we react out of human instinct, we don't think things through. This is where a lot of these debates and these problems come from in the first place. Most of the time, people are sharing things to do one of two things on social media. They're a troll and they want to cause trouble. Well, they're going to hang themselves, so don't let it bother you. Or they just simply want to help and they've had their own experiences, since, again, this is not a step-by-step process you can actually take training on when you deal with being an investigator. So a lot of people form their own theories, and that's the wonder of it. That's the beauty of it. You can have these theories and so forth. So when they put this on, they don't mean to upset you when you think you've had something. They just mean to give you one opinion or logical situation. And that's the way you should look at it. If you don't like it, just move on. It's not going to hurt anybody. If you get frustrated or irritated or angry at a situation, close the laptop. Walk away. Go spend some time with your family. Take a drive. Go outside. Take a breath of fresh air. Then come back and realize that so what? It doesn't fit in with what you are doing. And passion is the key when you're dealing with anything. If you have the passion and the belief that you saw that ghost and it means something to you, then maybe you did, whether I can explain it or not. I can explain the photograph. I can tell you right off the bat that photographic images really are irrelevant when you're talking about paranormal evidence because you have to put everything together. But that doesn't mean it didn't mean something to you. I wasn't there. I didn't experience it. I didn't see what you saw. So keep that in the back of your mind. Even when we're doing this show, yes, we're going to explain a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of logical things. Hopefully, we're going to see some things that will just scare the piss out of us. I'm just going to be honest about that. It would be really exciting, really fun to go back in and try to debunk something and bring in the professionals and try to debunk something and put together something that's entertaining for you and still come up with the, I don't know. It would be wonderful. But long story short, in the end, it's your personal journey. Now, with that said, I'm going to read a little bit of a story. I had a young old lady, actually, from New Zealand that wanted to share something that was very special to her because she got upset over the internet here about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She was trying to share something that happened, and she showed an image, and the image got ripped apart. And she just happened to be on a social media group that I was on. And though I explained the image and was very polite to her, she wanted to come back and say, well, this is why. Let me tell you the story. And I appreciate the fact that you were so nice compared to other people. This lady And I'm going to call her Beatrice because she told me she didn't want to share her name because she uses her real name over Facebook and over Twitter and a few other areas. And she was afraid that people were going to come back to her if I mentioned anything. This lady, Beatrice, had a young daughter, and her daughter passed away. Now, her daughter fell off of a ledge, and she still lives in the home. And unfortunately, it snapped her neck. And they buried her, and it was a very trying moment for her because her daughter was a teenager at the time and going through a few things, so they were arguing, and she blamed herself for it for a number of years. So she put a stone with her daughter's name outside by that cliff that said, in memory of, and we'll just call her daughter Janice. So Beatrice, in memory of Janice, for all of the times that I caused you trouble, I am sorry. I loved you in the end either way, and you will always be my daughter. Now, I think that in itself is very touching. Now, she took a picture of the back of this image because she visits that stone, and she spends time out there every year on her birthday. And she said she's going to continue to do that her whole life. But she had a cell phone, and she took a picture, and the picture came up with kind of a cloudy digital pixelation around it. That wasn't really an orb, but it looked like something that was surrounding the area around this stone. And it's not a cross or anything. When you're imagining this, it's just basically a tombstone. So it goes up, goes square, has Janice's image embedded in it, and then the little statement. Very pretty little thing. But anyway, she took a picture of the back of the stone as opposed to the front of the stone because she didn't want to share her daughter's face. And she said, I think this could be an image of my daughter, who is no longer with me. People tore her apart. They didn't take into consideration that she was grieving. So it made her cry. Made her feel really bad, and she wanted to share her whole story with me. Now, she shared it with me because of what I said, and this is the truth. I said, Beatrice, I can give you a logical explanation for what's going on, but does that really matter to you? If you feel that your daughter passed away there due to a tragic situation is coming back to spend time with you on her birthday while you're out there, and you feel that you caught that, then that's what matters the most. That gives you sense of peace and well-being. And to me, that means a lot more than whether I can prove she was there or not. So I say, good for you. She was there. And she was absolutely delighted by that. Now, it may not be the story that you guys wanted to hear tonight, but I think it's very important because of what we've been discussing throughout this whole process. The paranormal can logically be explained. The paranormal can logically be brought into. The paranormal can be deciphered. And most of us out there in investigation will do this because we want to find something. But the paranormal is also, as we have mentioned many, many times, a personal journey. Sometimes for very personal reasons. Whether it be somebody you lost. Whether it be something you want to find. Whatever that is. That personal journey is what matters. And the real point of all of that when you're dealing with social media is we're all human beings. Sometimes what some human beings say may seem silly to you, but it means something to them. And there's really no reason why we can't react to each other that way. We can't discuss things that way. And we can't respect things that way. Especially when you're dealing with the paranormal community. One last thing. Brian Holloway just came up with an app that has had some very interesting results. Now, most of you guys know from my personal experiences, I'm not a big fan of apps. But I am very respectful to the people that create them. Brian is a wonderful individual. He gets a lot of slack for the apps that he's created. However, there have been a lot of people that have claimed this particular app works. Now, Carl Bland has tested the app himself. He's one of the people that works with Paranormal Truth and Reality. I have not tested the app, but I do intend to download it and take a look at it in the next couple of weeks. I encourage you to take a look at Brian Holloway on Facebook. Take a look at his app. He advertises it on a regular basis and even shows you how it operates. Make a determination for yourself, because he worked very hard on it, and he deserves the kudos for it. That is pretty much everything that we're going to cover this week. Now, next week, we do have a lineup, and I know that the individual is going to be on. His name is Rick Hale. Rick Hale is an investigator that has worked with many, many people throughout many, many areas. He's very well educated. I'm looking forward to having a discussion with him. He's got roughly about 15 to 20 years in the paranormal. He's worked with with other very important paranormal investigators. He has some very unique perspectives on things. Excuse me, and has done a couple of studies. I apologize for coughing on you. So make sure you join that. And in the next few weeks, we're going to have Chris Sanders and Michael Scott in on. So in some other local perspectives on paranormal investigation throughout the years. The idea here in Paranormal Truth and Reality is, though we are going to get some of the up-and-comers and some of the professionals that have already been on TV throughout the interview process, because they're delightful people, I still want to stick with the average individual. Those that are out there every day. Those that teach every day. Those that have the theories every day. Those are the people that we're going to talk to as well. So stay tuned. Make sure that you keep an eye on us. I apologize that we missed a guest today. We will reschedule him, though. Ronnie is a great person, and it'll be a very interesting conversation once we get him on. So pay attention. We'll have him on in December, I do believe, because I'm filled up until the end of November. But I'll be more than glad to have him on any time, and you'll absolutely love him. With that, I will end the show. As we discussed throughout today, remember one thing. No matter what's going on in your life, take a step back. Because in social media, you are going to get upset, and realize that even though there is a reality to the paranormal, that personal journey that you're doing means something to you. And if that means something to you, don't let my opinion affect it or anybody else. Because that's the most important thing. Though I can explain it, though I can tell you the step-by-step process, though I can give you the black and whites of how paranormal study works, and many, many other people can too, in the long run, your journey is what matters. And with that, always remember that in the paranormal, that journey and that truth should always be your reality. As I cough here a little bit because I have a cold here in the state of Ohio, I will let you off, and we will see you next week. Have a good show, or good day, good night. Sorry about that, guys. Enjoy your evening. We'll talk to you soon.